Chatterbox.
The Chatterbox. Get over to the Chatterbox.
The Chatterbox.
The Chatterbox.
Ooh, Chatterbox.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I still love it. Wild. So, if you didn't notice, I said that we would, you know, make the new version, but yeah. We're going to give it one more week.
Oh, I do have one MP3 for you.
Okay, excellent. I know we have a couple more that we have to add in there. And also, if you're listening to this now, you still have time to send in yourself saying the Chatterbox to be immortalized.
Yes.
In our opening theme.
Sue Monk sent me one. Was she Geek Girl Soup? Is that the show
she's on?
Yeah, yeah. She sent me one, so I got to get that over to you. And
we can put Colleen in there.
Yeah,
we got to get. Was Robin in there?
No, I don't think Robin's in there.
Oh, we got to get Robin in there. I mean, he's here, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Robin's here. Yeah.
Oh, Robin's here.
Don't give it away. I haven't been introduced yet. I'll hide back behind this curtain. Sorry.
Okay, hide.
Hide. Yeah.
Introducing
and his
Robin.
50th different podcast.
I just talked over my introduction.
Oh, sorry.
you just ruined it. Hi, Robin.
I'm already here. It's okay.
Hi, Robin.
Hello.
Welcome to the Chatterbox.
Glad to be here.
Number 50.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Do you feel used and abused by now, or you still got more in you?
No, I think I think I've hit the top here, so, you know, I really don't think I can get any better.
I don't know if I should be happy or sad for you that you hit 50.
You've been on 50 podcasts?
Yes, including the ones that I've actually, you know, been a part of. I have been on 50 different podcasts.
Wow. That's got to be some kind of record.
I would guess, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Guinness would be impressed or, like, please leave us alone if I sent that in.
like, what the fuck's a podcast?
Yeah, what's a podcast?
50 is a lot, though. Damn.
That is a
lot. Yeah. Well, for a while there, it was like, you know, like a game. Like if somebody had come on Media Junk Era, that'd be like, you got a podcast?
Oh,
what do you guys talk about? Can I come on there and talk with you?
And at least three or four of them are still active podcasts.
There's a bunch that are still.
Well, you have three or four, so that would make
yeah, that's true. Well, I have two right now. I have FisherCast and RedemptionCast. Yeah.
Why are you torturing those people, making them watch the first season of Angel?
Because you have to get through the low places to really enjoy the high places.
To appreciate the rest of it, yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
No pain, no gain.
That's right.
So, well, we're excited to have Robin here. Yeah. That's not all bad. No, I like the show, so I'm not going to rip it. The first season's a little rough, that's all. Not a big deal. But, so, I just lost my train of thought because I was trying to look at something.
I've been on Reality Works.
Yeah, that's right. You filled in for me one time.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
How was that experience?
It's amazing. Honestly, I remember I was like, okay, I don't watch any of these shows, but somehow I'm going to just to get the spot.
Well,
just get the notch on the old podcast bedpost. I'm just going to watch a couple of, I mean, and I think Jamie had fun with it because, you know, it was like it was like he was doing an intro cast. It was like he was talking with somebody who's never seen these shows.
Well, we've changed our name. So if you come back, you can add 51.
Is it a different feed?
No.
Guinness is watching.
No,
that might be a stipulation.
Well, we do have we do have kind of an intro cast for Deadliest Catch.
Really?
Well, because I've never seen most of it, so we started rewatching it from the beginning on a different feed.
It's spoiled on all this. I mean, people died. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. I already know they're dead, so that kind of kills it. Yeah, yeah.
I can't. Spoilers in like Reality World? I don't know.
I can't go to CatchCon.
Oh, yeah.
I can't go to CatchCon or anything like that.
CatchCon? Really?
There was a CatchCon, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yes, I swear to God.
Nice, mate.
What have you been up to, guys?
Me? I saw The Dark Knight.
I saw it too. Well, yeah.
I saw it in 2008, actually.
Rises.
Rise.
Rise.
Yeah, let's talk about that later.
Okay.
Definitely.
Episode 3?
Yeah.
Rise, Lord Vader. Sorry. Excited to be here.
No,
we are very fortunate to have you
coming
in our box.
Oh, we forgot. I forgot.
Yeah,
that.
I know. When you opened the show, I was going to go like, oh.
I'm really glad you didn't. Well, but you just did.
Yeah.
Well,
I was going to say, like, thank you for letting me come in your box.
I didn't want to say it because I figured I should leave all the puns all the puns to you.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do any puns.
No, because, you know, we can work with each other, like, you know, take the target off each other constantly. Being the worst person ever.
Rob went to a concert in the 90s this week.
I did. I, like, was transported back into the 90s.
Really?
He hopped in his DeLorean.
Magical Hours. Yes. Yeah, so it was the Summerland tour, and which consisted of... let's see. Lit, Marcy Playground, the Gin Blossoms, Sugar Ray, and Everclear.
Did everybody play one song?
I know.
it was really a short set, so it was probably about like maybe 20-25 minutes for each band, because there was five of them.
Really, it's no surprise to me. You are your worst tent. Your own worst enemy.
Oh, nice.
It would have been better if I could just get it out there.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, Marcy Playground had Sex and Candy, the one, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because of Pandora and stuff like that, like, I listen to, like, alternative radio, and that freaking song comes up a lot. I have pretty much said I do not like Sex and Candy anymore. I mean, the song, at least.
It was awesome back in the day, though.
Yeah. It was at least different back in the day, anyway.
Yeah.
It was kind of risque. It's like somebody actually saying they like sex as like the main lyric of the song. I like sex and candy.
And candy, by the way.
Yes.
I
do say chocolate, everybody.
There was a slight violation of 90s protocol, though, during Lit set, because the one and only Dee Snider came out. And they sang I Wanna Rock, which is pretty awesome. But that was very clearly 80s.
So the 80s bled into the 90s.
The 80s invaded the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Bad things can only come of that.
Mark McGrath is a total douchebag, as one would expect.
Stunning.
Yes.
Stunning.
Isn't he the one that Boston told to, like, fuck himself or something? Didn't he have a story where he jumped on stage with Mark McGrath and he was...
Oh, I think so. I think so, yeah.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Basically gave him the finger. He loves selling it. Next thing you get him on, he'll tell the story again.
When he gets on the show, we'll have to make a story. Repeat the story.
You were very excited about the Gin Blossoms. we debated that.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I wasn't that excited for them, but... I have to say that they really put on a good show, and they performed really, really well. They had more songs than I thought.
I
know the song.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I know the song. So,
yeah, they had a few horrible songs, yeah.
Yeah, I would say that if you kept it to yourself, we would probably find out about you, and we wouldn't say, hey, jealousy.
Oh, that, yeah, they're like those post grunge bands that kind of killed rock again. That's basically what that tour was.
Wow.
We are the post grunge bands who re-killed rock after it came back.
Die, rock, die.
Yeah, that's starting to happen again a little bit, I think.
Well, it's like anything, Kister cycles.
But it was fun to relive, you know.
Well, that was your youth, that's why.
That was my youth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
See, whereas if I want a good time, I go to the Loverboy concert with all the other people in jeans and white runners, and we rock that shit, I tell you.
Nice. Yeah, like Dee Snider was my youth.
It's like I appreciate all that stuff as my youth, but I don't know if I'd be paying for a ticket to their shows.
No, me either. Like all those retro tours that come around, I don't really, yeah.
Well, every January, the Loverboy puts on a show here because they live here in town.
That's true.
So they put on a show and they rock it out. And usually they will do it on
the weekend?
Mike's birthday. So.
Do they do it on the weekend?
Of course they do it on the weekend. We're all old. We can't, you know, we're not working for the weekend.
That's their big. I was trying to think of their.
You know what? Everybody's working for the weekend.
Everybody's working for the weekend. They've got a ton of songs.
They actually do have a lot of songs, yeah.
To just get out
there. I probably know every one of them.
Yeah, they're pretty catchy.
You'd be surprised.
Does Billy Squire open up for them a lot?
No, they had really. The guy from Wide Mouth Mason, I think, came and sat on stage.
How is that?
No, that band. There was a mason jar involved in the name of the band, at any rate. But he came and played the first night, and everyone was really drunk and obnoxious and in their 80s glory. And everyone was yelling.
The Masons and like a slight against the Masons? Like, y'all have wide mouths because.
No, I don't think so.
You're like oral sex or something?
No. So everyone was yelling at him, when's Loverboy coming on? So it was really obnoxious.
Wow. People were yelling for Loverboy at this point?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a late night.
Hey, good for them. Hey.
It was Mike's birthday and he was sitting backstage getting drunk instead of coming on stage and playing. So.
Is he the lead singer?
Yeah. And man, that boy can sweat. Let me tell you. He's put on a few pounds.
I would bet.
He's not rocking the leather pants quite like he used.
Not quite the same.
Mm-mm.
Change the pleather.
Yeah. They have more give and they breathe a little better.
Yoga pants.
Leather pants always reminds me of that episode of Friends where Ross.
Oh, the leather pants. Yeah. The paste.
And then he got stuck in the girl's bathroom trying to get his pants back on.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I'm going a little tangent. I have heat stroke, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Why? What is it, like 70 up there on the Pacific Northwest?
No, it's like 88.
That's pretty hot out there. But.
It's really humid, so I'm kind of dying. I'm sitting in a very dark room drinking water. And
it's been kind of a shitty summer overall.
Oh, my God. It's been so freaking hot. Jesus Christ.
I just want to go out and scream at the sun. Happy medium, everybody. Yes. Happy medium. Nature,
please, say, dear Mother Nature, please get laid.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, when
it's
are
like
you
pray for rain, and then it's like it's even worse because of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rob, when are you heading out to Vancouver?
This weekend.
Oh, this weekend! Damn.
Yeah, really soon. I'm leaving on the 9th. Yeah, the 9th.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, what are some of the events that are planned for this event?
So it's a the Fringe event in Vancouver, and it is a whole bunch of fans of the show Fringe. And apparently, like 95% of the Fringe fan base are female. So,
oh, there you go.
I mean, I'm just this is what I'm noticing apparently. but so it's basically me and a bunch of chicks.
The odds are good.
And so I think some of the cool events, we're gonna go check out some spots where they shoot. I don't know if anyone is familiar, but like for example, like the bowling alley, Sam's bowling alley is up there. We're actually gonna play bowling. And now I found out this pretty recently. Canadian bowling is a little interesting. They have five pin bowling.
They screw that up too.
Apparently they have five pin bowling and
we're not gonna play your fucking American bowling.
Wow, five pin?
Really? Five pins? You guys five just pin. Play it halfway.
We have 10 pin bowling too. You can ten.
Yeah. Well, the place that we're going is five pin. And I'm interested to try it, but I don't know what strategy to use. So I'm basically just gonna throw the ball and just try to knock down pins.
What, they run out of wood to make the pin, so they went down to five pin?
You fuckers took it all, okay?
It's a wood shortage.
You Americans and your free trade.
Yeah. Some sort of Sam Weiss teaching you're going to like recite to yourself before you go in there to bowl?
Yeah.
what else is there? I know that they're currently filming the last season, so there's a party involved, and they're invited. And there's no guarantee that they'll be there, but I know that they've expressed interest in going. So it's very possible that some of the cast and, and our crew will be there, which would be pretty cool.
That'd be awesome. Especially since the fans have done so much for the show this season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this whole group that, I've kind of been involved with are the ones who did the whole Twitter campaigns that were showing up on the actual show. Every week. So
that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely have shown appreciation to the fans and you know, I know if they can be there, they will be there. So it'll be fun. Yeah.
You know, I've been a very vocal opponent this season.
I know you have.
I really was disappointed by it. But that's I did see the trailer that came out of Comic-Con, and I was like, you sons of bitches, you got me again. So, looking forward to the last season. I'm hoping they fix some things and make some things make more sense. So I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. And then I get to see Michaela.
Yay!
That's awesome.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
You can get a contact high at Michaela's house.
That's true. Or actually high. That's really your choice.
I don't want them to get deported trying to get back across the border. So
that's true. But we also they're recording Once Upon a Time in Steveston right now.
Oh, yeah.
So we might get to check that out.
I would like to check that out.
Yeah.
Do you watch the show?
Who? I do.
You do? Good.
I saw the Queen and Dwayne Reed like a month ago.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They were filming just around the corner from my work, and unfortunately I didn't get down there to get any pictures of it, but people were tweeting things like, oh, today they blew up Steveston Village, so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, doing FisherCast, we rewatched 6 Feet Under, and she actually showed up in a guest spot on that show. I was like, oh my God, the Evil Queen!
She's one of those people that seems to have been around quite a bit, but you feel like you know her, but then you can't really quite place her. That's why I find her. She's so gorgeous.
Hmm. Yeah, and this was like probably filmed like 6 or 7 years ago on 6 Feet Under, and she looks like, you know, younger and fatter. And
younger and fatter?
Wow. That was
I am no person to say anything about people being fat, so.
Well, I'm fat, but I still make comments about other fat people.
Really?
They're fatter than me? Oh, hell yeah. I'm catty that way, Robin.
I gotta go there.
Because I'm mean.
Did you learn anything from Jewel? In the end, only kindness matters.
Jewel. Where's she now?
Boy.
Where's kindness gotten her?
She got her teeth fixed.
She did?
Yeah. Recently, I think, right?
That would be odd.
I think it was this year. Well, I mean, she might as well get them done now. Nobody knows who she is anymore anyway.
Actually, she did a Lullaby CD recently. And
oh, really?
We've been playing the crap out of that over here.
I can see how that would be really relaxing, yeah.
Yeah, she's got a great voice.
Oh, definitely. And big boobs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's definitely very comforting to kids. I don't know if you know that or not. Being a father.
The buffet. You look at it, it's like, woo, buffet.
Yeah. That's where, and you know, they lay on them. They're nice and soft.
Who doesn't want to lay on them?
Exactly.
In fact, the girl I used to go to see Loverboy with has really big boobs. And when I'd get a little too drunk, that's really all I wanted to do.
Lay on her.
Put my head right there. I used to think about it.
Is that a motorboat?
No. No, for comfort.
Oh.
I hope she never hears this.
You know you want to.
She won't drink anymore. Or she might.
Oh, boy.
Oh, was that too much information? I'm sorry.
No.
Not for this show.
No.
Everything goes here. I mean,
it's whatever. True.
We don't care.
That's true.
All right,
so you guys,
what's that?
You guys all wanted to, you are done talking Dark Knight Rises, or did I didn't see it because you know I'm still watching things like The Girl with Dragon Tattoo.
You didn't see Dark Knight Rises?
No, aww. I'm not gonna.
I saw it in
not
IMAX.
It's on my television.
Night. Oh,
I'm bad that way.
So damn good.
I really enjoyed it too.
It's amazing. I mean, they had a lot to look up to after Dark Knight, and mm-hmm. they did.
Yeah, I thought they did. Like, I think people are just nitpicking it a lot.
They really are, and that's the thing. It bothers me when people try to... I'm going to go on a mini rant. When people try to make sense out of movies where, like, not like big, huge things, but little things where they're like, oh, why didn't he just do this? Well, because it's a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's better. It makes for better drama or better. You know what I mean,
storytelling.
Like, stop trying to like make it like a real life situation, because that's not how it is. It, you know, suspension of
disbelief.
Disbelief.
You got your reality in my fantasy.
I mean, who cares? You know, I'm trying to think of one of the nitpicks.
Driving.
Could it be this giant voice that doesn't even belong in the same room with everybody else?
All right, yeah. I didn't mind it.
When that started up the movie, I was like, oh my gosh, they really like overcompensated for the complaints against.
But you know what? You could understand it, and that's all that matters.
But something like that could really take you out of the movie, though. I mean, something if it's technologically bad.
No, honestly, it sounds like if somebody like cued in as a narration or something like that.
It didn't bother me like that, honestly.
Yeah,
they're on this loud plane with hoods over their heads, and it's like, hello.
No, I don't know. I was fine with the voice, but yeah, no.
But as far as the storytelling goes, I mean, you have to give a storyteller freedom to tell their story, regardless of how outlandish it is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's a comic book story, essentially. I mean, it's not going to be completely coherent or completely based in realism,
right?
It can't be.
Because I'm sorry, I don't care how much money you have, you're not going to be Batman.
No.
Yeah.
You know,
we have to go back to my comment about Spider-Man. It's a Batman.
Yes.
How much real do you want?
Stop bitching about stupid shit. Just enjoy the movie.
You can't just like be like, okay, well, I'm not going to think critically at all while I'm watching a movie because it's a movie and I should just enjoy it.
You absolutely can, but like, I'm talking about really stupid little things that don't actually matter to the plot.
But if you set up a certain amount of rules in a movie and then you break them, it is kind of ridiculous. I don't know how far into spoiler territory you want to go into, but I can name an example.
That's up to Michaela.
I'm not going to drop any.
If it's not a major, there you go.
No,
use your discretion. Wrong.
So minor Dark Knight Rises spoiler.
I mean, if it's like you don't want to hear anything about the movie at all, then I guess skip ahead. But okay, so there is a point where transportation between Gotham and the rest of the world is cut off.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
They set this up very clearly and distinctly. As a matter of fact, there is you could come under gunfire to get in and out of Gotham.
Yep.
How the hell did Bruce Wayne get in Gotham?
Because he's fucking Bruce Wayne.
You can't just say that.
Well, sure. Here's the premise.
Here's what I heard is that that his Bruce Wayne Manor is technically outside the city limits. I don't know if that's true or not, but
he's walking around in the city. But how do you get?
Yeah,
see him.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can argue that once he gets to the Batcave, he can get. He has all sorts of shit that can.
And I can't. I don't think there's any time in the movie where they said Wayne Manor is outside city limits.
I don't know. No, they didn't. But I'm just saying. No, I mean, so yeah, sure. You know, you can argue that fact, but, and I did too, but
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird, but
it was a little weird. I agree with that. In the sake of storytelling, would you think it's really worth it to explain that how that happened? Like, is that
I mean, yes, actually, yes, because you know they already established that you can't. These people can't get out. Nobody can get in. So how? Like, and when Bruce shows up, they're like,
yeah, I actually agree with you there. I would have liked to have seen them. Show him sneaking into the city.
Fair enough, yeah. Fair.
Yeah, you could have done that in a couple-minute scene. It wouldn't have been that big a deal, you know?
I mean, that was one of the bigger things, but there were much bitchier things that people have been saying. But anyway...
Like what? I could have probably defend it.
had all that extra voice work to pay for. They couldn't afford to be paying for showing him coming out of tunnels.
Yeah, see, and the voice thing, like, I understand they had to go with that weird voice because they couldn't do a... like deep gravelly voice because Batman already does that, so you can't have two guys doing the same damn voice.
It's not. Yeah, it wasn't the. It wasn't the grandiose nature of the voice that sounds like Sean Connery.
It does sound like Sean Connery,
but it's completely like it's out of place in the scenes. It's louder than everything else in the scene.
It does sound louder than everything else. That is true.
Your punishment must be more severe. No. I mean, sure, you can have little nitpicks, but I mean, honestly. Overall, you got to admit that it was a really damn good movie and really great storytelling.
It was, and honestly, I saw it in LIMAX, which is not quite IMAX, but is the best I can do around here. And I would suggest to anybody who wants to see it to see it in IMAX.
I saw it on an IMAX dome.
Ooh,
and, how was that? It was awesome. The seats were shitty. But the dome, seeing it on the dome was freaking awesome.
Basically, if you don't sit like at the top.
Yeah, sit at the top. Yeah, if you go see it, it's in Philly, so we sat at the top. But when they do like the panorama views over the city, when they were blowing up, when stuff, they showed us in the commercial, so that's not really a spoiler. When the bridges are blowing up around Gotham, you actually had to look left to right. To like scan over the city and see everything.
That's cool.
It was really cool the way it was shown. That's awesome. It didn't do so great on some of the other scenes where it's kind of letterboxed and just in normal.
Yeah, I mean,
they shot
a lot more of this movie in IMAX, so I'm sure the scenes where they actually shot with an IMAX camera.
All the action scenes were IMAX.
Yeah,
straight IMAX camera. So it engulfed the entire dome. So it was pretty cool.
We have one. One place that has an actual IMAX dome theater on Long Island, and they show Dark Knight there, and I saw it there, and it's awesome. I haven't heard anything about them playing Rises there, but if they do, I'm there.
Yeah, usually they just play – this one's at the Franklin Institute, so they usually play, you know, the normal IMAX stuff like the Rocky Mountains and stuff like that. Yeah, it's in a museum.
Exactly.
Yeah, so once in a while they'll play the other stuff, which also means the chairs aren't really set up for a 2.5 hour movie. So it was really fucking uncomfortable after two and a half hours.
They're usually playing like maybe, you know.
Yeah, like those half hour, 40 minute movies like King Tut's Tomb, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know.
Not 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah. So I was getting a little uncomfortable. But even that said, like the uncomfortability of the chairs, I didn't find the movie slow. I didn't find it to lull at all. I thought it was paced pretty decently.
I thought the pacing was great.
I didn't find a long stretch. Like, the only time I kind of was like, all right, come on, speed it up a little bit, was when he was, Mikhail, cover your ears. I can say it without saying it properly. When
he was outside the city?
Yes, when he was outside the city. Yes.
Yes.
When he was in another land.
Me too.
Say, yeah.
And the worst part about that, to again speak very in code, it's kind of like you're like, again?
Yes.
Really?
That's what I was like. I was like, all right,
why did they do it in the beginning of the movie?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Does she?
I didn't need to see extra attempts. Let's put it that way.
Right.
There was too many attempts.
Yeah, but if it was just like one or two, that would be kind of stupid.
I thought two would have been okay.
The successful attempt, I was soaring. That was a great scene.
I thought it was really well done. Yeah. And the twist I thought was not spoiling
twist
anything.
Was awesome.
Twist I thought was perfectly done. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah. Very nice of them.
I can't say anything.
Well, I mean, I think we can say that it wraps up very nicely and there are ties to the first movie, Batman Begins.
Yeah, definitely.
It works great as a wrap up to a trilogy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. See, that's how I took it though. I don't think it is. I don't think it's fair necessarily to look at it as a standalone movie because it's not. It's kind of.
No, it's a trilogy.
Yeah, it's the end of the trilogy or the sequel to the first one, whatever you want to call it.
And honestly, it's one of the strongest trilogies, like, ever. I mean, think about it.
Definitely.
Like, even the best trilogies, like, my favorite movies, like Back to the Future trilogy, like, amazing. But you know, there are weak links, for sure. Mm-hmm. These three movies, they're all solid.
Yeah, and it really is, I mean, one of the best, it's right up there with, like, the Lord of the Rings with the best filmed
Oh yeah,
trilogy. Oh, it really looks damn good.
Yeah, like Nolan is a master of his craft.
Yeah,
I watch any. He is, in my opinion, has not made one bad movie, and I will watch anything he puts out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the cohesiveness between the movies is pretty good. Other than the look of the city, which changes between Begins and, you know, The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, everything else kind of...
Yeah, Begins is very... It looks kind of like it could tread into Burton territory. But,
yeah, when they get... Yeah, the Narrows and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was a little... And I did not like any of the, you know, the Burton slash... what was the other guy who did the ones then?
Schumacher.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like any of those. Mm-hmm. None of those. I didn't enjoy any of them, actually.
I like the Michael Keaton ones.
Yeah, I loved them at the time. It's like the this trilogy just kind of spoiled it all for me.
Yeah, if you go back and try and watch, them. I like one was on TV.
I mean, like when we saw the original ones, I saw them in the theater. So those are the ones that, you know, you feel a little bit more connected to because you have different memories to them. But the new stuff's cool too. I was like my old lady stuff.
It's like the original Batman is probably the best of the older bunch.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Man, the hype around that and all the merchandising and all the, God. Like I collected the trading cards, read the novelization, probably all the soundtracks, the prints and the regular soundtrack. Like I was all up in that. And so I could probably just sit down and watch the movie and be like just reciting lines, you know, and it's like I see it as like, trading cards, like, oh, here's a scene where they have that iconic shot, you know, like, wait till I get a load of me, you know. So I can't even appreciate it as a movie anymore. I just see it as a piece of, like, you know,
your history
hype. And it definitely is a part of my history, but now it's like I could really appreciate this trilogy, and I can go back and look at it and see. Like I just rewatched The Dark Knight recently just to get ready for Rises, and I was like, "Oh my god, this movie is awesome!" Like,
yeah,
you know, maybe that
the technology is so much better.
My father was a drinker.
I even really like Begins.
A Tom Waits interview on Facebook.
Oh my god, that was awesome!
I swear to God, did I get that from you? I wasn't sure.
I don't know, but it
was, I share it with somebody. Yeah. Is Tom Waits talking on like Australian TV, and his voice is so much like Heath Ledger's, and you would think that Heath Ledger like studied that interview or just studied Tom Waits to get that.
It was so spot on, even like movements and stuff.
Yeah,
it was so spot on. Yeah, seriously, if you haven't seen the Tom Waits interview, check it out because it's eerily accurate.
Yeah, you probably just type in I think there's a couple of articles up on Blogosphere, just like Heath Ledger, Tom Waits, and you'll probably you'll find it easily.
You're smart. You know how to use the internets. You're listening to a podcast, damn it.
That's true.
Yeah,
you should know how to use it.
You can work it.
You
out.
Can probably do Google.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so we all liked it pretty much then.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I'd hate to have it on a bad note. There was so much stuff I really like. I loved Catwoman.
She was excellent as Catwoman.
Yeah.
I like her. I thought she'd be good at it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. But I think she pulled it off.
Yeah
it's that Oscar performance really sullied her, people starting to get respect for her. Yeah. And now it's like, I think she's back on top again.
Nice.
That's good.
Princess Diaries forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's the first one I saw her in, and that was with my daughter. That's a, you know.
She got stuck. Yeah. I mean, could you portray her as, like, you know, one of those kinds of actresses?
See,
you know?
To me, she'll always be Jack Twist's wife.
The kid's actor. Yeah.
And then Havoc came along.
Havoc. Did you feel wrong? Like, hey, she's a princess.
No, hey, she's a princess.
So awesome, good.
So all positive reviews on that. Good, sounds good.
Yeah.
Man of Steel
and
trailer.
I will tell you how many glasses of wine I give it when it comes on video on demand.
Oh, you know what? I didn't see the Man of Steel trailer because it was at the like a museum. They don't show trailers.
Okay. Yeah.
So I actually didn't get that. That was one thing I missed out on.
I I saw.
I saw it online now.
Comic Con. The Comic Con trailer was longer.
It's so much better.
Yeah, it is better. This one is kind of like some fishing.
Yeah.
And then wait, why is Superman flying?
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And then he breaks the sound barrier a few times, apparently.
Yeah.
But it was a teaser. You know, the movie's still a ways away. And...
That's the thing. It's such a teaser, and it's a year away still, so they've got time to show us a bit more. But I liked it. I was like, ooh, they're taking Superman in a kind of a new direction.
Is Nolan doing that one?
He's producing it.
Okay.
He also is co-writing it, though.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is important.
I think that's a good thing.
Nolan's a really great writer. I mean, Nolan writes most of his movies. So
Dark Knight Rises aside as a good writing.
Yeah. okay. But I mean, I think that's a good thing for the movie, regardless of what you think of Zack Snyder. I think the writing is going to be solid. So.
All right, Michaela, take off your headphones for a second, because I have an end of movie question to ask.
Go ahead.
And I'll text you as soon as we're done.
No, just go ahead.
No. It's really going to spoil everything.
Oh, yeah. No.
I guess skip ahead of like 2 minutes, people. Or
I'll mark it out on the thing. I'll put in a chapter for it. So,
okay.
All right. Hop off and I'll let you know as soon as we're done.
Major spoilers.
Yeah. So what do you think it's possible? What do you think if they were to continue the series without Nolan and as not G. Gordon Liddy as Batman?
Yeah,
G. Gordon Liddy.
Here's my thought on this. Is that I think that Nolan's definitely done. But whoever takes this up next can either choose to completely reboot it or keep in the same universe and have. Because honestly, I would love to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Batman.
Yeah, I agree. I think he would be good. It would be a whole different Batman. It wouldn't have to be.
It's not Bruce Wayne. It'd be a new character as Batman, which I would be totally fine with. I think that'd be pretty cool.
And I think you could get a fresh origin story that's not tied to the comics.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It might give you more freedom.
Right.
Do not want, keep it away.
Really?
RE... Catwoman.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying, but if it's something that Nolan produces but doesn't write,
I don't even think he'll produce it.
I don't think so either. With his, yeah,
I'd be fine with that, or I'd be, I don't know. I just feel like whoever's gonna do it next has got a lot to live up to, and it's probably gonna suck. In all honesty,
you see, I don't think you can revisit the same story again. That's why I think going forward with the Levitt end would work.
You could. I could see it going both. You know, like, I would like to see it, but I can see it's also a great ending as well.
Yeah.
It's a great ending, and honestly, I would love to have this, like, these three as, like, a nice, you know, polished movie trilogy to go back to over and over again, because, you know what, they're going to be, rebooting Batman anyway for the Justice League movies, so I'd appreciate it if, like, it wasn't...
That's going to be a much different Batman.
Yeah.
See, that I think that's going to struggle so hard, though. How are you going to do... I don't think you can Marvelize what they've done to Batman.
It's going to be really hard because
yeah.
I think to do a Justice League kind of thing, it's got to be more close to the shitty Batman movies.
Yeah.
Has to be more comic-y.
Yeah, that's more comic.
At least more comic. Yeah, more comic booky. Yeah. It doesn't have to be shit.
Like that style where it's like more, you know, like Bane.
More leaps of logic.
Yeah.
Like Bane, not like realistic Bane with the mask, but Bane with like the wrestling mask and like tubes coming out of, you know?
Yeah, the
like,
tubes and all that, but yeah.
That kind of world.
Yeah, what the heck? We got kind of ripped off on Bane a little bit too, as I had to mention. I mean, really? Like, they're not going to... He doesn't get pumped up and, you know?
I think I was okay with that.
He's just like a regular dude?
Yeah, see, I'm glad that... Because I am tired of seeing CGI characters and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
I don't know.
I think that's what distinguishes them from the Marvel movies, which just aren't my style. That's just... Yeah, I mean, they're fine, but they're just not what I prefer.
I'm reading Nightfall, and it can be written like... good and mm-hmm. and it not like cheesy, not like Batman and Robin Bane.
Oh God, Jesus, or Mr. Freeze, or
everybody chill.
Oh God, or the Joker, or not the Joker, Riddler. I'm sorry,
Riddler, yeah. Riddler,
Jim Carrey's Riddler, or Poison Ivy. Oh God. Ugh. All right, yeah, that was all I wanted to talk about that. Was right, like, what right. do we think we could, you know?
I just, yeah, to sum up, going into Justice League, I cannot, you know, they'd have to have like two Batman movies going along at the same time, or they'd have to get Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character
into that universe
as the Batman for that Justice League movie. And it might work, but then again, I'd just rather see Bruce Wayne in the Justice League. He does so much. Like, if you ever watch the cartoon mm-hmm. series Justice League Unlimited, he is the main guy, yeah. like the only like regular dude in all these super giants, and like, and he's always the one that keeps a check on everybody, you know. And I just can't see. I'd rather see Bruce Wayne. I can see Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character doing the same thing, but I'd rather see
Bruce Wayne. That. Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, that, yeah. I was just worried about how they could work that in, but yeah, with the Justice League thing, it doesn't. I don't know how they could possibly do it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you, boys.
So we won't spoil anymore.
I have something that I would like to plug.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So we originally were trying to get a few friends of the show on here to talk about their documentary. But scheduling issues, it just couldn't happen, unfortunately. But so I just want to talk about it and make people aware of this, because I think it's a really great project. So what it is... it's a documentary called Trickster, and it's about a disorder known as, now let me get this name right, because it's a
yeah, good luck with that.
Trichotillomania,
yes. It's called.
So what that is, it's a disorder where the sufferers compulsively pull out their hair, and it affects 15 million Americans. It's not, I mean, I honestly didn't know about it before I heard about this, so... it's not really well known, but pretty common. 15 million is a lot. So, what there now? This is I don't know if anyone listened to the Media Junkyard Days or Metro Buzz. You might know of Amanda. She was on Media Junkyard once, and she's been on Metro Buzz quite a few times. So it's actually a friend of hers, Jillian. And Jillian is working on the film, and I think Matt is helping her. I'm not sure exactly what she's doing. But hopefully we can have them on soon. But the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because they have a Kickstarter. And as of recording, it's got 11 days to go.
Yeah.
They're trying to raise $10,000. And right now they're at $8,500. So they're so close, but it's that crucial time where... you know, it's going to happen or not, you know?
Yeah.
So I really want to try to get the word out there. And I think it's a really great project. And I really hope that people will, you know, pledge some money towards it. I did. And I'd really hate to see this fall, you know, the Kickstarter fall through. Cause
yeah,
if you
get funded that high.
Yeah. If they're so close, and if they didn't make it, it would be such a shame. So, I definitely want to get the word out there. I think it's important. I mean, things like this, people don't know about this disorder, and I think it's important to try to get the word out there. And check out the Kickstarter. It's the film again is called Trickster. It's T-R-I-C-H-S-T-E-R. So do a search for that on Kickstarter. And really, if you have, you know, some spare bucks to throw their way, it would be really great, because, like I said, it'd be such a shame if they didn't hit their goal.
Yeah, and this is the money to start the production, I believe, is how they.
Yeah, they have started. Started production, but you know.
Or to continue the production. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Basically, I mean, it's expensive to make a film. You know, I've been involved with, you know, with productions and whatnot, and I know how it is. It gets tough. So. I think it would be really great if they can get this support. Kickstarter has been really great for a lot of a lot of different projects, mm-hmm. and I have something else Kickstarter related that I want to mention later. But I've been like on a like a Kickstarter kick. I've backed quite a few things on there. It's pretty cool. But there's some good and if, for those who are not familiar with Kickstarter, there are different tiers where and you get rewards based on how much you pledge. So, mm-hmm. Like for example, for only $25, you'll get you're going to get a full HD download of the film and a DVD, and your name is also will appear in the film as a contributor. So that's pretty cool for $25. And then there's other tiers, and you get more things. And so it's Kickstarter is quite awesome. So
yeah, and if you can help out this project in particular, you know, that would be really, yes. Especially with them getting so close to their goal.
Exactly. Like I said, just if you have some spare change throw their way, they would appreciate it. We would appreciate it. Because it's a great project, and I definitely want to see this film get made. You know,
yeah,
definitely. I think it's a great because now there's so many outlets for documentaries and with Kickstarter, people can actually make them without having to bankrupt themselves, to say the least. But now with like Netflix and Amazon and even Hulu. Just the availability of watching a doc is so much easier now that it gets to a much wider audience. Whereas before, like even a few years ago, how many people would have really seen any of the docs that were like nominated for an Academy Award or anything like that? You know, you just it wasn't available to anyone. Whereas now it's just so easy at your fingertips.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's a video on there, like a little introduction, and you can kind of get a good idea of about the disorder in general, about the film. So definitely check it out. Again, it's called Trickster, TRICHSTER.
All right.
Good luck to them.
Very nice.
Check on them next show. We'll see what the outcome is.
Right.
Hopefully they will hit it.
Yeah, by then the first part will be done.
And we'd still love to have them on the show down the road as well. So look forward to that.
Give us an update.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So you had another Kickstarter program you wanted to talk about too.
We're on the Kickstarter thing. Why don't I bring this up? This Kickstarter, this is already way funded. So this.
Oh my God! They're like they want it. This is serious. They want it 900,000, and they got 7 million so far.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic idea.
It's great. So this is
it has to do with porn, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't everything good?
Anal beads controlled by your iPhone.
Can only dream.
It's called Ouya, something like that. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it, but
I don't know.
Ouya.
A new kind of video game console. It's actually. So it's a video game console based on the Android operating system,
mm-hmm.
and $99.
And it's all streaming games as opposed to downloading games, right?
No.
Right.
The thing is that you can get download games.
Okay.
It's going to be based on they're going to be Android games, but made obviously they have to kind of be ported over to use the controller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to have its own interface and its own market. Most games are going to be free.
Okay.
Will be some, but then like these mobile games, they're fairly cheap, 99 cents, $2-3, for pretty good games. In addition to that, it's going to have online compatibility, which that's the streaming of games.
Yeah.
But you're streaming full fledged console games the Batman Arkham City game, for example. So basically, the game is running on some remote server and it's getting streamed to you on the console. So that's pretty awesome as well.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great idea, but I didn't back it until this latest piece of news. They're basically the first major publisher to pledge to make a game for it So Square is actually putting out a Final Fantasy game. This console, which they have, because that is one of my series. So, yeah. So they've got there. And yeah, you can pledge $99 and you will get a console and a controller when it comes out. Which should be March or so, I believe. March of next year.
Yeah, that's the video was really impressive. And the idea that instead of it's basically opening up to all kinds of developers instead of having to go through the major studios to develop a game.
That's right. Lets a lot of amateur developers create games.
And they're saying they have a free factor in there where one factor is that they have to provide some amount of free content.
Yeah, which is great, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the internals are basically, you know, stuff you would find in the latest phones out there. But it's enough to run these games, you know, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's really cool, and this can definitely be, I think this can change the game, if you will.
Well, this is dangerous for the regular consoles because
yeah,
they're already being undercut by just the mobile gaming and things like that. And games are just becoming more and more expensive to create.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like movies. If it's not big, it has to be small. You know, you can't make an in-between movie, so you can't make an in-between game. I think that's why the Wii pretty much disappeared so quickly. If you don't make a huge game, then you need to make a 99-cent game on the iPhone. You know, there is no in-between. The in-between stuff doesn't work.
Yeah. So this is kind of taking that low-cost game idea and then putting it into a console. So I think this is a fantastic idea. It looks cool. The controller looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is the receiver like kind of like an Apple TV kind of idea with I would watch Netflix streaming through my Apple TV, the content is not here?
Yeah, exactly. Except for I would assume that it's going to have memory for
some kind of storage.
For the games, okay. You can download games for it.
Right. Sorry, I have to put it in terms I understand. Apple TV.
Go with the Roku. Roku's better than Apple TV.
Do we have that here? We might.
But yeah, I mean, it's similar to the idea because this is still, I'm sure this is going to do Netflix and all the basic stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But it's going to be a focus on gaming cheaply.
That'll be awesome.
Cool. So again, yeah, I mean, their goal was 950,000, and they have right now $6,732,066.
If nothing else, what does that tell you? That they have obviously tapped into a hole in the market.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
This thing blew up. I mean, this is, yeah.
Well, it's a huge hole because console and the next generation consoles, which are going to be, what, in probably about 2 years?
You have to fill that huge hole.
The next 720 and the PlayStation 4 or whatever the hell they're going to be called are in what, like, I think like 2 years or something like that. So
you're saying next year
is it next year, next Christmas, right?
Yeah, probably.
So you're looking, I mean, I can't imagine the start price is going to be any cheaper than $399. Yeah. And games are going to be $75. You know that.
I mean, you know what? Honestly, they would have been, but I think that maybe because of what's going on with these mobile games, they're going to be forced to keep them at least the same as what they are.
Yeah, see, I think the issue is they're going to be able to charge certain amounts for certain titles, the big titles. Yeah. It's those in-between titles are just going to get lost because of systems like this.
Right. So that's going to be cool. I can't wait for that. That's going to be pretty sweet. How's that sandwich, Robin?
What?
We invited Robin on to have a massive tech segment. So, well, speaking of like
iPad
games. I
love you guys' massive tech.
Speaking of iPad games, I played The Walking Dead from Telltale.
Oh, yeah. I played that on my Xbox.
Yeah. On the, I thought it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. It definitely had the feel.
Choose your own adventure aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it captured the feel of the series, you know, the comic series. The controls were a little wonky, but you know, other than that, it was fine.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite as responsive as I would have liked. I don't know if I'll buy the other chapters or not, but I enjoyed playing the first chapter.
I know chapter's out for like the Xbox and stuff.
Oh, so. Is it? Yeah, see, I think only chapter one was out for the iPad right now.
Yeah, so they're a little behind, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. The touchscreen wasn't always as responsive as I would have liked, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it looked like it was available for the iPod, too, and I was like, do I really want to play this on my iPod?
Yeah, it is available for those. It's so. I don't see how you could, though. It's so tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like something that would translate to that small of a screen.
So.
And we are horrible at transitions.
We'll get there.
Oh,
so well last week.
I know. Yeah, it's Sunday. That's why.
Maybe we should make some transition music. So then,
yeah. Star swipe.
Since Rob went to a '90s concert, we could do a Wayne's World transition. I never saw that movie, right. By the way. Anyway.
You never did? Oh, well, nah. Maybe it's on video on demand, and I'll tell you how many glasses of wine it'll take to get there.
I still wouldn't see it. I still wouldn't watch it.
All right. Amazon Cloud Player for iPad Mike.
Oh, yeah, that just came out. That's awesome because it's just it's more ways to get media without using iTunes.
I prefer.
You guys like play like Cirrus and Cumulus and stuff like that? Stormy ones, or you more of like a light and fluffy?
I am Stradivarius.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Thank you, eighth grade.
I think he's light and fluffy, Rob.
No, but you can actually now you can your movies you have in or movies, TV shows, whatever, videos you bought from Amazon that you have in your library, you can actually download them now to your iPad.
That's cool.
So that is nice. And also you can stream the Prime stuff, I believe.
That's cool.
So that's just another thing, another device you can use for that.
I have Amazon Prime, but I never use their video service.
I use it quite a bit, actually.
I should, because I don't currently have Netflix right now.
I use Netflix more than I use I have all the three major ones. I have Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon.
You also have no life.
And I have no life. But, well, no, I have a four-year-old who watches a lot of Transformers from the 80s. Although this week I was stuck watching the Disney Channel for like 2 days while I was sick, and I pretty much had enough of every Disney sitcom for me.
Oh,
God, horrible.
They're so bad. It's funny, like I remember being like a teenager and having Saved by the Bell being on.
Oh, my,
and,
no, oh, my God.
And being like... This is awful. And really, the Disney Channel is just a bunch of like Saved by the Bell type humor shows.
To me, it's the Disney Channel is the CBS for kids. It's CBS comedies for kids. It's like Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men for kids. Sorry.
I wouldn't equate both of those. Come on.
I would. They're the same show with just different topics.
Robin, tell me what Song Pops is.
Oh, Song Pop is it's the newest craze.
What is that?
Everybody's doing it. It's a new app that I'm all excited about. So I figured I'd just say something during your tech segment. It's just another one of those games you're gonna play for like 2 weeks and get sick of, like you know, Words of Friends or Hanging with Friends. You know,
Tiny Tower.
What's that?
Tiny Tower.
Well, not even like, I guess, you know, there's a social aspect to Tiny Tower, I suppose, but more of the, you know, you just like send 100 invites to all your friends and, you know, half of them respond and then you play with them. But it is, it's really just like a name that tune trivia game that you can play with friends. And it's fun. They like, you know, they start the tune off or they start off in the middle of the song and they have like four multiple choices and you just, you know, you ring in whichever song you come up with and you can see like your friend, if they come up with it first and there's a timer or whatever, and you get bigger score for the quicker you answer. And they do kind of like a tournament every week. You can play against your friends like so many times and it shows like a scoreboard of who's winning. And, you know, at the end of the week, they just reset it all and you can start all over again.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of fun.
I like that.
And yeah, and it's something, you know, you get stuck with these categories. Like I'm not really good with the modern rap
category. No.
And it's so fun. Like, I'll play with my, like, 14-year-old daughter, and, like, one of the choices, the song will start up with, like, motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. Oh, she just heard that. Oh, well. But it's fun. And, you know, if I know you and you have song pop, you know, send me an invite.
Song pop.
I just got it, so I will send Robin an invite.
I'm going to have to
sweet,
get that.
I'm going to crush you.
I'm going to crush you.
I'm going to crush you in song pop.
I will break you.
It's the whole reaction time. People usually just get me on. Like, I know the songs pretty quickly, but my reaction time, because I'm, like, old.
It's on reaction time. I got you beat there, Robin.
Yeah. So enjoy your easy game with me.
Bam. Okay, I have an app, too.
What's that?
And since we don't have sponsors, I can talk about this. Free audiobooks.
Ooh.
It's an audiobook app by Cross Forward Consulting. Hello. I'm sorry. I'm really hot. I'm melting. They have over 4,000 classic audiobooks that you can try for free on your iPod. Now, you're going to get what you're going to get here as far as the readers are concerned. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. You can listen to Treasure Island and things like that. A lot of Sherlock Holmes and things like that. But I'm an audiobook kind of girl because I can garden an audiobook. So check it out. Anyway.
Guardian.
I would like to hear A Study in Scarlet read by Bane.
By Bane.
They need to have audiobooks by Bane.
That would be pretty cool.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Mary had a little lamb.
His fleece was white as snow. Moby Dick had its reckoning.
Yes, that's about it. You can probably make that happen because it does have a feature where you can slow down and speed up the voice of the reader. So you
Mary
can make that happen.
Had a little lamb.
I wonder if somebody had... I wonder how you get hired as like a person who reads audiobooks.
Oh, you can do them. No, you can do them and submit them.
Yeah.
I think it's on archive.org.
Yeah, do you get paid for it though?
No. It's like
it's a service, Robin.
Yeah,
it's a service.
It's all the ones that are out of copyright, obviously. Treasure Island, all that.
You know,
kind of
I
stuff.
Should do that. Like just like submit like audiobooks of myself reading something like in a terrible voice so people are like, oh, this guy again.
Oh, holy shit, he's awful.
He tries so hard. It's so sad.
Yes.
So in my library right now, I have The Landlet Time Forgot. Oh, it's reading. Sorry. Oh, be quiet now. King Arthur and the Adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
Wow.
So wait, yeah. King Arthur and Sherlock Holmes in the same story?
Yeah, well, no.
That's it. Yeah, it's a
hybrid.
I have
to make it stop playing.
It's a new movie that's coming out. King Arthur versus Sherlock Holmes.
Do they both kickbox in this one?
Yes. Somehow they both know karate. And they have steampunk
style
weapons.
But it's not
weapons.
Really karate, it's judo.
Judo. And they have steampunk weapons. And then King Tut comes in the middle.
Oh, King Tut.
And King Tut from the 60s Batman TV series comes in.
Steve Martin.
Yeah,
Steve Martin is King Tut.
With an arrow through his head.
Actually, that's how they kill him.
They pull it out.
You found my vulnerability.
Is it television? Let's talk about television.
It is.
Mike, tell us about the Brady Bunch reboot.
I don't know. I was just wondering why the fuck are they going to do that? that was just kind of my only question about that.
They shouldn't. Next.
Yeah, exactly. That was my point.
I don't know. Vince Vaughn behind it?
Yes.
Sounds like it'll be like
really.
No, it's going to be pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Like,
there's no good reason.
What the fuck is the point of that?
Wait, okay, I got it. The synopsis, I'm looking at the article you linked here, says, in the new Brady Bunch, a divorced Bobby Brady with children of his own is remarried to a woman who also has kids, and together they also share a child. In addition, their ex-spouses are still a part of their lives. So,
is this in the Brady Bride universe?
Holy terrifying.
You know, kids, you know, sometimes do what their parents end up doing. And this is kind of like going to be a sad comedy, I think.
But I thought they were all. I thought they were both widows in the first one.
Apparently, they're not following the Brady Bunch canon.
Wait, I thought the mother was like divorced, or the
kid, I don't know.
Maybe I'm mixing up the movies. I don't know if the movies are exactly like the TV show.
I don't know if they ever said on the TV show.
Like in the sequel in the movies, the father shows up again.
That's true. That's true. I don't know if that's canon, though.
Gary Cole.
I don't know if that's canon.
Canon. There's Brady Bunch canon.
I don't know if that's canon, the movies.
Terrifying.
Although they were kind of funny.
Marsh. Okay, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, we can get all spoilery. I'll put a chapter in. Yeah, I'm loving the season.
It's fantastic.
Cooking in people's houses. Great idea.
Yeah. Also, I mean, honestly, they come up with such great ideas. Like, like almost to the point you could probably follow this and get away with it. You know, I mean, obviously the chemicals and stuff are.
I
think Landry's a cop
because most people would have thought they would have gone straight back to to working in a motorhome, but not Walter White.
Yeah, pretty genius.
I think the kid who the Friday Night Lights kid who's on what are they called? Exterminator team. I think he is going to turn out to be a cop and end up fucking them.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Well, he has to be something because why would he come running up to Walter and making a point of himself?
Yeah, he's too good. He's going to fuck them somehow.
There might be because they were robbing anyway.
Yeah.
So there might be someone undercover.
I bet he was trying to get that ring and he ended up in this.
You know, it's hard to talk about this because, you know, by the time you release the podcast, the next episode will be out. So
I know. True. It's not tonight.
And he'll be dead.
Yeah. Right. We'll know. The mystery will be
solved. He's dead. Oh, wow.
Here's a question. Wow. I had a question, though. Now, are they actually exterminating in the houses as well?
Yes.
Okay. Because it didn't seem like they were. And I'm like, well, when the people come back in and there's still bugs...
Well,
they do the cook and then they bomb the place.
They bomb the place. Okay. See, the whole Jesse Plemons thing, I feel it's going to, the way Walt was talking to Jesse at the end of the episode, it sounds like either A, he's considering getting rid of Mike, or B, informing Jesse that he can be replaced.
Yeah, I was
I think Jesse Plemons might be a contender for that. Not that obviously they're not going to just kill off one of the main characters and replace them with this brand new guy, but I think the threat might be there. Like if Walt sees that this guy is he's loyal and he's willing to work for it, he might be impressed by it. Because Walt just wants to be appeased at this point. He wants somebody to think he's the man.
He's turning into a badass.
Badass and kind of an ass at the same time.
Yeah. And kind of
really
a dump.
Feel he's, bad for Skylar.
He's kind of undercutting
himself,
too.
Who would have thought that would have turned around? I hated her.
I know.
I was like, why is she such a bitch? What's the matter with that woman? And now, I feel so bad for her.
Yeah, I think he's undercutting himself at the same time, though. Because he's going to do something to fuck it up, and there's going to be no infrastructure, and he is going to get screwed.
My call is that she's the one that kills him. I think she's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. It's been a constant thing with Breaking Bad. As he gains more power, the bigger ego. The more he really gets away with, the bigger ego he has. And now he's now that he's taking down Gus, he's at an all-time peak here. So, I go back to the whole the conversation he has with Hank. At the dinner table to have that dinner, and Hank's going over this evidence and saying this guy Gale might actually be what do they call him?
Heisenberg.
Heisenberg. Gale might be Heisenberg. And Walt could just as easily just be like, all right, I'm going to pin it all on Gale and get on with my life. But he can't. He couldn't do it. It's
too proud. He has to take credit for it.
Yeah.
He's a sick fucker.
Yeah, his ego's going to get him.
But just before you stop, though, Breaking Bad, I have to say that if you are a Breaking Bad fan, you have to listen to Breaking Bad Insider podcast.
That's, they're fantastic.
It's so good. And this is not a one? It's Vince Gilligan and the producers and writers and some of the cast members sometimes just sitting around the table and talking about what went into each episode, and it's fascinating and funny.
Cool. Okay, I gotta check that out.
Yeah. Makes the show even better.
Just, it really does, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a good podcast about Breaking Good by Bald Move. It's excellent. Really? It's a fan podcast, but it's excellent. Huh. They do Mad Men also. They do Mad Men, Justified, Breaking Bad,
they do, like,
Walking Dead.
Happy Men? Is it the Happy Men podcast?
I think it's called the Mad Men Happy Hour podcast, maybe?
Oh, I guess that works.
Something like that, yeah.
Is it The Walking Alive?
It's
yeah. The sleep... Sitting Dead.
The Jogging Dead. The Jogging Dead.
Newsroom, Robin. How do you feel about Newsroom? What do you
really liking it. To get prepared for the Newsroom, I knew it was coming like a couple of years ago. Like, I knew that Aaron Sorkin was going to make another TV show. And
is that just a feeling, or?
Well, I'd seen a little bit of his stuff. Like, I saw The Social Network. I was really excited by that and really happy with that movie. And so I just was like, boom, I've heard so many good critical reviews of, like, Sports Night and The West Wing. So I just pushed my way through both those series, really enjoyed them, and it was all like a horse with blinders going into the Newsroom, you know, a lot of the criticism. I'm kind of like, yeah, but like kind of like Rob with Batman.
Well, I feel the same way about Newsroom. I agree with you. I think that if it's well enough written and it's entertaining enough, I don't need to look too much at the social context underneath of it. You know, like maybe I'm not a feminist enough.
Yeah. Hmm? Are they treating one character better than the other as a, you know, when it comes to sexism or whatever? Like, you know, I just I don't know. I don't see it. Unless it's really blatant, and I just don't see it as blatant as other people do. I think this. Well,
and
whole,
sometimes it's just the reality of an office environment.
Yep, it's true. Boy, they did a great job with Olivia Munn's character this past episode. Really,
yes,
I thought that was excellent, and that face off between Will and the gay black aide of Rick Santorum. Was yeah. Such a good scene. It was just like, this is really good, really good stuff. I really don't think people should just scoff at it and dismiss it or whatever. I mean, it's not as good as some shows like Breaking Bad, but I think it's definitely a really good show to watch.
Well, it's pulling at different parts of your heartstrings too. I mean, what Newsroom is not, yeah, Breaking Bad and Newsroom.
yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, you know, because they have the whole 2010 thing, they're, you know, it's like, and now they're going into 2011, they have the hindsight thing going on. Like, they, yeah. Of course, they can just be the best at be the most morally right about
high ground about it. Yeah, well, we would have done it this way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, well, we've had 2 years to process things that happened, and now we realize, you know, with hindsight, what should have been done. And when they station the Newsroom guys as people saying that right off the bat, it kind of sucks.
Yeah,
which is why I appreciated that whole scene with the Santorum aide. You know, yeah. They can't always be right. You know, and there's a lot. It's not just black and white.
No.
So anyway, sorry, I'm cutting you off.
No.
Well, yeah. I think
anyway, I'm enjoying Newsroom. I like it very much. But True Blood.
Ooh.
True Blood.
Why isn't Tara dead? Please, can't we kill Tara?
I like Tara.
No.
She's painful.
I'm sorry. I like Tara as a vampire.
Ugh. I'm like, Tara's a vampire. Okay, they didn't kill her. It's gonna be better. Nope. She's still just a total B, you know, yeah, and it's not even enjoyable.
And the whole wolf pack thing, I don't really care that much. And yeah,
I gotta say though, this—I mean, granted, this is another show that's not on Sunday, so. But last week's episode, or if you're listening to this 2 weeks ago episode, I thought it was so hilarious. There were so many great one-liners in the show. Did you guys like?
You mean the stuff with Sam?
No, not even just that. Like, Lafayette had some good lines, and
oh yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I laughed a lot in that one.
I love that the smoke monster's back, getting more work.
Yeah, Yeah. Union Car Day.
That whole thing is kind of dumb.
There's a lot of dumb stuff. It's really I can't say. I don't know. It's funny how they play with their lead characters. Like this, you know, Bill Compton. Like, what happened to this character? Like, wasn't he like one of the lead characters? And now he's like second fiddle to Eric. And now it looks like he's turning into like a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It is.
I find that they seem to spread themselves so thin on the show with the writing. That's the only, like, as far as the storylines are concerned, they have just too much going on.
Way too much.
Yeah. But I like the boobies.
Boobies are always good.
Oh, yeah.
When does Game of Thrones come back? Jeez.
Hopefully soon.
And I am shipping Russell and Steve Nolan. I hope they get together, those crazy kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this brings us to Michaela's Got Questions. Are you ready, Robin? Are you ready for Michaela's Got Questions, Robin?
I think so.
Okay, let's go. Movies or TV?
Wait, you don't have a theme to this? Rob, come on.
You have no,
sorry.
We're very relaxed and casual. We don't want to run away because of commitment.
Wait, hold on. You saying I don't like commitment?
No, we just we don't want to.
Don't let women hear that. Jesus Christ, he's single. Just trying to get some.
No, I'm fine with commitment, Michaela.
His odds are good this weekend.
She cares about commitment, just not that much to scare you off. All right, ladies?
The perfect amount.
Just the right amount that you like.
Just the right amount. Anyway.
Robin, do you prefer movies or television?
Robin's got questions for Rob. No. Movies or television? I would have to say, even though I probably watch more TV than movies, I can't just say, like, if I went to a desert island and could only pick one, I'd have to pick movies because there's so much good out there and there's so much crappy TV.
So what is your favorite movie?
What is my favorite movie? I used to say for a long time, Chinatown, with Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway. I can't say really. It's a secret. No, I
nothing. You got nothing.
I'll just stick with Chinatown. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. If you really, it's a really good like 70s noir.
Okay. So now, what is your favorite TV show, current and of all time? I think I might know the answer to this.
No, because I can't. I mean, as much as I like, I'm fanboy about certain TV shows as I go along, like other things replace them, and then I go back and I go, oh no, this was better. And you know, like for a while there was the X-Files, then it was Buffy, then it was Lost, then it was Smallville, then you know, and it, I don't, and then it's Breaking Bad. Like TV shows just get better and better and better. And I
so current would be it probably be Breaking Bad then.
I guess so. Like if I could think of like a show I most look forward to every week to watch, it'd be a tie between Breaking Bad and Teen Wolf.
Just watch Teen Wolf?
You're goddamn right I do, and you're missing out the second season. It's so good.
Apparently wow. Rob has questions.
I didn't see that one coming. I did not see that one coming at all.
I love Teen Wolf. It's so like
So Michael J. Fox is still really?
Is the fat basketball player still in it?
Even the fat basketball player wants nothing to do with this. But it's so much fun. It's like I feel like one of those people are like, no, seriously, try out the Vampire Diaries. Yeah, I know. But weekly, I am enjoying the shit out of this show. And it's cool because it's actually the same like producer and writer from the original movie is behind this TV series, so you can go, all right, well at least it's that, you know.
I don't know if that's a positive.
You didn't like the original?
No, it was pretty fun. I watched it as a kid. It was fun.
Star Trek or Star Wars, Robin?
I would have to say Star Wars.
Okay, favorite band or artist?
Favorite band or artist? Midnight Ocelot. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, they are.
That's another
no
thing.
Time for move. Wow. Oh, so you have no time for music? Is what we're? Is that what you're saying?
I do. I don't. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's I listen to way too many podcasts. So I'll just say Bob Dylan. That'll cover it.
There you go.
Which, you know, was my impression. I just did. It was Bob Dylan.
You did?
Yeah, that's different.
Nice.
What is your favorite non-internet or social media hobby? What do you do when you're not sitting in front of the box?
Masturbation.
It brings the world.
That's all of our favorite hobbies.
But I'm not sitting in front of, like, the computer or the TV.
Yes.
Oh, then it wouldn't be masturbation.
I guess a cross between, I don't know, playing with my kid, perhaps.
That's an excellent answer. We'll take that.
Okay.
Do you prefer dark or milk chocolate?
Milk.
Oh, really? What's your favorite swear word, Robin?
Fuck.
Okay. These ones are just for you. What if you had a superpower, what would it be?
I would have the powers of time. I would go back and forth throughout time. I would be able to freeze time as well. Yata.
Time. Okay. And last but not least, what is your kryptonite, Robin?
Sweet cream cheese pretzel from Wawa.
that's a good one. I was thinking of, like, things that actually upset me, but then there's things that actually break you down where you're like,
yes,
I
what
can't
is it that breaks you down?
Yeah. God, those things are really good. Now I can't get those out of my head.
Now he's hungry, damn it.
That or, like, you know, the promise of sex.
Yeah,
it's not the reality, just the promise.
I can't think of anything else, but I know it's happening. Tonight. It's like that song "Business Time" by the Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll do whatever you want, baby.
Thank you for playing the Caitlin Scott questions, Robin. Or is that your kryptonite? Or no, you're done. No, good.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So sex and some kind of.
Sweet cream cheese filled pretzels.
Wait, sex and candy.
Yeah, basically, yeah. See, it all comes around.
There you go. But you get a little salty in both of the things.
There you go.
Okay, Rob, you're in charge of telling people how to find us.
Oh, crap. Okay, so you can find us on the web at chatterboxpodcast.com. You can also send us questions, comments, whatever. We would love your feedback. And that address is chatter@chatterboxpodcast.com.
Do we have any feedback?
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of.
You all.
Oh, there was promise of feedback, wasn't there? And it never happened.
You know, that's my kryptonite. There's no feedback.
Aww. Me too.
But we'll get it. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
So. Maybe sexy Coach Hill will write in one day.
You really comparing your podcast to Rome.
Rome. The TV series, not the place.
Yes. You can also find us all on Twitter, and I am at Rob Venger.
I am at RenMiked.
I am at August95, and for his 50th show ever, thank you so much, Robin. Where can people find you?
Everywhere.
I am at Colk Smash, and you can find me the podcastosphere. I do FisherCast, which is 6 feet under podcast. I do with Moira, Dez, and Illyrio, and that's at fishercast.blogspot.com. And I also do an angel podcast, which is at redemptioncast.blogspot.com. That's with Illyrio, Kim, Gabby, and Steph. And I'm really at L. Robin Yarrow. No, I'm at Chris in Boston.
Oh, man.
Send your hate mail, too. And again, Robin, say the chatterbox.
The chatterbox. Or wait. The chickity chat box.
Okay. I don't know how we'll use that one, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure that one out. I marked that out so I can take that out.
Yep. Excellent. Cool. All right. I guess that's it for I had fun. I thought it was a good show.
I had fun, and I'm gonna play the Trickster promo after this.
Oh, sweet. Good idea.
We'll add that in. So, everybody listen to that, and then you'll know more about Trickster.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a very welcoming 50th, and I appreciated the conversation and the talent.
Thank you for coming in our box, Robin.
Yeah, thank you for sitting out, Robin.
All those M&Ms for me. Appreciated that.
Your crown and sash will be in the mail.
The fluffing I had before the podcast was appreciated. Mm-hmm. Now I need to go back to my dressing room to get that finished.
And Michaela, I will see you soon.
Yay! Yes.
And the rest of you in 2 weeks.
Yep. I'm going to try and get it out tonight. So
I like the fact that when I brought up like getting fluffed in my dressing room, immediately reminded Rob that he was going to see Michaela.
Yep, it did.
That's right.
Can I smell schnomance?
Hot tub fluffing.
Schnomance. Hot tub fluffing.
It's going to be a frothy hot tub.
Bubble bubble.
Rob doesn't need me. He's going to be surrounded by women.
Somebody's leg hair is going to be all stuck together. It's going to be disgusting.
His odds are good.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Later.
Night. Bye.
Night. Bye.
Trichotillomania.
Chick-telomania.
Chick-telomania?
Trichotillomania.
Trichotillomania.
I'm Jillian Corsi, the director of the film Trickster, and I'm here to ask for your help.
I'm about to embark on a year-long journey to discover what it's like to live with trichotillomania. In order to do this, I'm going to need some major assistance. Trichotillomania is an impulse control disorder where people pull out their hair.
No, I haven't heard of it. It doesn't sound that fun.
Oh, I have no idea what that is.
Pulling out your hair is usually told as a joke, kind of.
A tick, we call it in Dutch.
I don't know, I think if I saw somebody in the street that's randomly pulling their hair out, I'd feel like, what's wrong with them? That's not normal.
To each their own, I suppose.
Yeah. It would weird me out just a little.
Find out where they work and avoid it.
Yeah, I don't think I would certainly wouldn't go and give them a hug.
I think it's probably the grossest thing I've ever heard.
3% of the population suffer from trich, so there's a good chance you probably know someone who has it.
Okay, I have heard of it, actually. I didn't know the name, but I have.
I know a girl with anorexia, and she does that really bad, but I didn't know it was called that.
I think I might know somebody who does that. Yeah, I've noticed her doing that a lot, my grandma.
Oh, yes, then I've heard of it. I just didn't remember the name.
I think I kind of used to do it when I was younger.
It's almost like it's just a habit. Like, people, like, play with their hair. She just kind of pulls it out.
But I just twirled my hair until it turned to a knot, and then I had to, like, pull it out.
It often develops before age 17, so many are children who are scared and confused by a behavior they can't control or understand.
Why do they do that?
Something to do the society has it. Is that a psychological disorder?
They feel good doing it.
What's being done about it?
I want you to get it out there.
I would like to know if I could do something to help.
People don't even know they have it.
Yes, I do think you need to be spreading the word.
I know we can do it. If we get some help from you today on Kickstarter.
Because I think things like that, in order to get the word out, it takes really strong grassroots efforts or a lot of money.
We need to raise $10,000 in order to get this film started. So please donate whatever you can and help make Trickster a reality. They don't have a celebrity crusading for their cause. They don't have a telethon or a 5K to raise awareness. They have us, and now they have you. Please help introduce Trick to the world by sharing their stories.